Good afternoon. Like Anne said, I'm Magda Vucek, and I'm going to be talking about a study that compared methods, talked about methods used to measure the duration of exclusive breastfeeding. Do I just click? Arrow. Oh, perfect. Okay, great. And I have nothing to disclose. So there are many health organizations that recommend exclusive breastfeeding as the primary feeding method in infants in the first 6 months of an infant's life. There are many beneficial health outcomes for infants as well as mothers. To name just a few, human milk feeding for infants helps protect them from chronic and infectious diseases, and it promotes sensory and cognitive development. In mothers, mothers who breastfeed have lower rates of breast and ovarian cancers, among other health advantages. These health outcomes will differ significantly if mixed feeding is adopted as opposed to exclusive breastfeeding. Therefore, it is important to measure exclusive breastfeeding in mothers and how long they've been exclusively breastfeeding their infants, although it is difficult to do so accurately. There are a couple common methods used to measure exclusive breastfeeding. The first method is the retrospective method, in which mothers are asked to recall how long they were exclusively breastfeeding for after they have already stopped exclusively breastfeeding. Another method is the cross-sectional method. In this method, mothers are asked to report their feeding method at one specific point in time. And the longitudinal method keeps track of feeding information over a certain amount of time in a systematic way. So the objective of our study was to compare exclusive breastfeeding rates of two of these methods in the same infants at 4 months. So the data that we compared was the cross-sectional data with the longitudinal data. So in our study, we enrolled eligible mother-infant dyads within 72 hours of the infant's birth from the years 2008 to 2010. Eligible infants had to be healthy term, AGA and singleton infants, and eligible mothers had to be English or Spanish speaking, and they had to be eligible to breastfeed. Our mother-infant dyads were taken from the urban Boston population, and the study was a nested cohort from a larger study on breastfeeding and obesity. So we obtained our longitudinal data by collecting ongoing feeding data from the infant's birth through 4 months. We obtained the cross-sectional data by a telephone survey question at 4 months. And our study defined exclusive breastfeeding as the infant only having breast milk and no formula. So the longitudinal data included all feeds, every single feed in week one of life. The data was taken from the hospital feeding record and the maternal feeding log. The maternal feeding log was a log that a mother filled out as soon as she left the hospital and went home. After the first week, mothers were called weekly for the rest of month one and then called monthly in months two, three, and four. The cross-sectional data was obtained by a phone call at 4 months, during which we asked the mother, "What did you feed your baby in the past 24 hours?" The data collected was a cohort of over 300 women in the larger study on breastfeeding and obesity. For our study, only mothers who reported feeding breast milk exclusively at the 4-month phone call were selected for this study. So 49 mothers reported feeding only breast milk at the 4-month phone call. Here's a list of demographics which portray who our population was. You may notice that we had a primarily low-income population with 74% of the mothers on WIC, whereas the national average is about 50%. We also had a high cesarean delivery rate compared to the national average of 34%. Oh, sorry, low. Low. Our cross-sectional data showed that 49 women reported only giving breast milk at the 4-month phone call. Of those 49 women, when we looked at the longitudinal data, we found that actually 25 of those 49 women had fed formula in the past 4 months based on the data that we had collected. This means that the data matched for only 24 women. The cross-sectional data matched with the longitudinal data for only 24 of the 49 women. In addition, of the 25 mothers who fed formula in the past 4 months, 8, or 32% of the mothers, only gave formula in the first week of life, which means that for all the other data points up through 4 months, we had data that they had been exclusively breastfeeding. A possibility is that infants were fed formula in the hospital without the mother's knowledge. We also analyzed which demographic labels were associated with whether or not the cross-sectional longitudinal data matched. We found that the cross-sectional longitudinal data for mothers was more likely to match if the mother was U.S.-born, non-Hispanic, not on WIC, a smoker, and had a education past high school. In general, though, it is difficult to make big generalizations about this since our sample size was fairly small. So overall, our cross-sectional data seemed to overstate the rate of exclusive breastfeeding when compared to the longitudinal data. In fact, the cross-sectional data reported twice the rate of exclusive breastfeeding when compared to the longitudinal data that we found. Overstating the rates of exclusive breastfeeding do have major implications. That means that infants who are exclusively breastfed would be misclassified together with infants who have been mixed fed. And these health outcomes may be biased towards the null. The extent to possible health outcomes that could be observed would be diminished. Some of our limitations were that not all feeds were recorded. More babies could have received formula before those 4 months, but since we weren't able to record every single feed, we wouldn't necessarily see that in our data. The longitudinal method does give us more data points than other methods, and it does rely less on a mother's recall. But in our study, it still only gave us weekly or monthly data points, which means that we did miss feeds. Another limitation is that we had the small sample size, which limits any generalizability of the demographic findings. And lastly, our definition of exclusive breastfeeding only looked at breast milk and formula. We didn't look at liquids or solids. So actually, exclusivity rates could be even lower if a mom fed her baby a liquid or a solid before 4 months. So in conclusion, a one-time question at 4 months, which was our cross-sectional data, found double the exclusivity rate of data collected over the 4 months, which was our longitudinal data. We found that the cross-sectional data overstated the rate of exclusive breastfeeding, and in our case, expressed twice as much. Therefore, researchers should be cautious when interpreting health-based outcomes when this method is used.